we rise. Grace to you and peace from him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to God. To him be glory and dominion now and forever. Amen. As we continue our studies in the book of Revelation, we turn to chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. This is the word of God. We pray, dear Lord, sanctify us by your Holy Spirit through your word of truth. Amen. In the name of the Lamb who was slain and has begun his reign, dear fellow partners in the tribulation, in the kingdom, and in the patience. Classified information. In our government, classified information can only reach the level of top secret if it has the approval of one person, the president. The president has been vested with the authority to have that final say on disclosing information to the public. He's been vested with the authority as commander-in-chief to execute top secret orders. In the right hand of him who sits on the throne lies a scroll. In the right hand of authority, power, and power lies that scroll with the most classified of all information, top secret. It is the future of the church, the future of mankind, the hopes and dreams of our own destiny. In chapters to come, we'll see this scroll unroll. We won't be considering every chapter or every detail of this vision, but we should note that as this unrolls, we see time and time again God's power against Satan, against false teaching, against all who oppose the redemption of the Lamb, the executive orders. The mighty angel rightly proclaims with a great voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" That scroll contains seven seals, a symbol of the perfect knowledge and complete fulfillment of God's will. Without anyone to open this scroll, this is a terrifying thought for us. If no one breaks the scroll, then Christ's kingdom remains sealed. In fact, Christ himself remains sealed in the tomb from our eyes. We're left in a haze of terrorism and school shootings that make no sense. Where will the end take us? Who is worthy? Who has that executive authority to break the seals, to unroll the power of God? The world works hard to open this scroll. Just open your phone book and you can find somebody in a city nearby who will read your palm or who will show you the cards of your future. Governments try to open this scroll. As we see governments direct their armies to dominate, to assert their agenda, churches try to open this scroll. Just turn on your television and you can find a pastor ready to promote a certain candidate, a certain platform that will further the purpose of the church. And we too have those moments where we try to open the scroll, or perhaps to rewrite it. These are the moments where we allow personal desires to take the place of God's will and the obedience to what he's given us. Perhaps this is in regard to the relationship we should be having within a marriage. Perhaps this is in regard to a relationship we should not be having outside of marriage. Perhaps this is in regard to our refusal to carry out today's tasks because things just don't seem fair, or to do so with a bad attitude, because at work or at home, things just aren't lining up the way we want them to. No one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. John weeps, and we weep too. We weep because in heaven or on earth, there's not one of us who has gained that right to execute God's plan of salvation. God's plan for the future. What will the end be? Then I looked. "Don't weep," the elder says. "Look. Look at Scripture. Look at Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes. And to him shall be the obedience of the people." The Lion of Judah stands before us. Look again at Isaiah chapter 11. "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots, and there shall be a root of Jesse who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious." Yes, also the root of David, the prophesied one, that God declared would come, and has prevailed. But notice, who stands before us? It's not a lion, it's a lamb. God's victory isn't revealed in terms of earthly ferocity. Behold the lamb. The Greek is vivid here. Behold a lamb as though he was slain, He stands up and lives, stands before us and remains tall. The Lamb has been sacrificed, and yet he stands. We heard this last week when Jesus said, "I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." When no one in heaven on earth, in our household, in your household, throughout all the nations of this world is worthy, here appears not a lion, but a lamb. Jesus is worthy because he took our unworthiness, because he stood before God's will and remained innocent of all that God commanded, because he never resisted the path that God set him on, the path to be slain. He is worthy. Peter addresses the assembly at Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2, saying, "This Jesus has been delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. You have taken him by lawless hands, have crucified him and put him to death. But God has raised him up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. This is what gives him seven horns. He is all powerful, conquering all evil in your life and throughout the future of this world. He has seven eyes, which can see all things that you're going through, all things that lie before and behind. The seals are broken. The top secret plan is unrolled, made transparent. The greatest transparency we could ever hope for, because here we see the blood which is shed to pay for your sins, the redemption which is yours. This is your part in his kingdom, which was hidden and is now broken open. Who is worthy? Behold, the Lamb." Experts and agencies are always working tirelessly to keep certain information confidential. They don't want it to fall into the wrong hands. And yet, as history proves, no matter how many agencies we have or how much power a nation has, they can never fully predict what the enemy is going to do. God has no such struggle. He is not threatened by North Korea and what they're going to do next. He has nothing to hide from the enemy. He's laid it all clear. The Lamb has taken the scroll, broken the seals, and executes the final orders, and in fact, he wants it proclaimed. He wants it known. The church sings a new song. Worthy is the Lamb. There are at first two groups surrounding the throne, both the four living creatures and the 24 elders. Numbers are always significant when you study a vision like this in Revelation, where indeed it is meant to signify something. We see references to that number four, such as the four winds or the four corners of the earth. And so we understand the number four as referring to the creation, the four corners of God's creative work. Ezekiel has a vision very similar to the four living creatures pictured in chapter 4 of Revelation. And we see those four living creatures as referred to as the cherubim. They're beings which represent God's work in governing and carrying out his judgment against his creation. The 24 elders make up another group that worships and serves the Lamb. The number 12 is a number that's symbolic of the church in Revelation. We see this in the 12 tribes of Israel in the Old Testament. We see this in the 12 apostles in the New Testament. And here we have 12 and 12, 24, symbolizing the fullness of the Old and New Testament together. That term, elders, is a term of honor. It signifies an office, And earlier in chapter 4, we read how these elders had their own thrones and their own crowns. That is, they have a ruling authority in the kingdom of God. Where do we find this ruling authority? Romans chapter 14 says that the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. When Jesus came preaching the kingdom, the ruling activity of God, he came saying, repent and believe the good news. Not eating and drinking, but the work of the Spirit, the ministry by which God rules his people. Where the true gospel is being proclaimed, that's where the Lamb stands, and that is where we see him reigning, his victory. The 24 elders hold this authority, and as we see in verse 10, they have been made kings and priests to our God, and they reign on earth. Peter spoke of this when he said, you are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So the scene unfolds with these two groups praising the Lamb. First, the beings directed to direct all creation to praise the Lamb and serve him, and also the elders who are directed by the kingdom, God's word, to praise the Lamb. And they come together to sing a new song. Worthy is the Lamb. The word for redemption used in verse 9 pictures a price being paid. It suggests ownership from slavery. It's how we became part of God's victory. All our worship is centered here in the Lamb who has purchased us with his blood. You may notice that in place of the glory and excelsis, we've been singing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Because this is the feast of victory. In Christ's resurrection, we are here in the book of Revelation doing the things that are being spoken of. Singing a new song. And yet this song is more than music. It is a song based on the Lamb slain who has redeemed us by his blood. It doesn't come out of the red hymnal. It comes out of the red blood which was shed for us. It is what burns within us. What changed the Apostle Paul from darkness to light. What revealed the one who stands on the shore who asks for some fish to eat. It is what Psalm 98 prophesied of. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. Our reign on earth is just like the Lamb's reign. It is not in governments, in messages given out, in any earthly thing. Rather, it is a new song that comes from within and is sung without. It is proclaiming the Lamb who was alone worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. It is not a lion, but a lamb. John writes of this when he says, whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory which overcomes the world, our faith. We sing this in the face of persecution. When we're made fun of for not joining in. When we choose what is right to the consequence of losing a promotion or losing a friend. This is a song we sing in the face of the worst tragedy that could come our way. When in all outward appearances we see nothing but a slain lamb laying down. in the midst of our own lives, messed up, full of confusion, pain that we experience, we sing a song of the Lamb who stands. In the chapters to come, God unveils this plan in symbols, in visions. He never gives the details of what North Korea is going to do next. Rather, he gives us something much more valuable. The church triumphs. That is the end of our song against false teaching, against the Antichrist, against all political powers that oppose the Lamb, against the world of unbelievers. It all ends where it began. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. For this reason, we find in the end, every creature in heaven, on earth, under the earth, in the sea, all that is in them, will acknowledge the worthy Lamb, will bow to his salvation. We do so by faith now. This is the message which has saved us. Then the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever. We indeed fall down to worship him every Sunday, every day. Amen. We rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.